Seeking the help of the Lord, let us turn again to the portion of God's Word that we've read together in Hosea chapter 13. And you will find our text for this evening in verse 9. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Hosea was a prophet who lived for a long time and who did much service for the Lord. Matthew Henry tells us that Hosea is considered to be a minor prophet because of the amount of writing that is preserved, not the amount of work that he did or the amount of usefulness that he was to the people of God. Eternity, of course, will declare the usefulness of the servants of God. He wrote to a people who were living in sin, and he wrote these prophecies and these challenges to call them to repentance, that they would turn from their sin and return to the Lord. He may be a minor prophet, but he dealt with a major issue, the issue of sin. And that issue is still an issue today, and it will be until the end of time. The heart of man is no different today than it has been in any generation. And this major issue is still there for us today. And I would like us to apply this text to ourselves this evening in three ways. First of all, let us notice who he addresses. He addresses Israel. O Israel, he says, thou hast destroyed thyself. And then secondly, we shall notice how they had destroyed themselves. And then thirdly, we shall notice, yet there is hope. There is hope. For the Lord is the help of those who destroy themselves. These three things then, for a few moments, as the Lord will help us this evening. First of all then, to whom he spoke. He doesn't speak to the world. And yet this is true of the world. The world is destroying itself. The world lies in sin, as the scriptures tell us. No, he addresses Israel. Who were Israel? Well, there were certain things true about Israel that would be good for us to understand. The first thing about Israel is this. They were the professed people of God in the world. The world looked on them as God's people. But not only the world. They looked upon themselves as God's people. They were the professed people of God. And of course, with that comes a great danger. And that danger is the idea of infallibility. Infallibility. What I mean by that is that if the world looks on us as the people of God, and if we look on ourselves as the people of God, then we may consider that God will approve of whatever we do, because we are different from the world. They were the professed people of God. They were the covenant people of God. They were those that the Lord had entered into that covenant with. What a covenant it was. He took them from the wilderness. We see here, he says there in verse 4, "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt." From the land of Egypt. This reminding the children of Israel of the bondage that they were delivered from. Why were they delivered from it? Because they were the covenant people of God. They were the professed people of God. They were the covenant people of God. And they were the worshipping people of God. Those who worship the Lord. Those who are known as worshippers of God. And isn't this true of you? Here tonight. However you view yourself, it is the case that by your presence here tonight, you are professing to be one of God's people. Or you might say, "But I'm not a member of the church." But still, that association is a profession that you are someone who fears the Lord. Perhaps you're a covenant person. Perhaps you've been covenanted by baptism, by the outward covenant, if you like. Perhaps you've been covenanted by the inward covenant. You're a worshipping a person of God. Is the Lord not speaking to you tonight? And what was it about Israel that the Lord had to say to them? He said that they had been destroyed. Destroyed. We'll look at in a moment what even in this passage teaches us of the sin that had destroyed them. But you see, here is a fundamental of the faith. Here is one of the ABCs of the Christian faith, and yet very few people believe it. The danger is not out there. The danger's in here. He doesn't say the world has destroyed you. People talk about how dangerous the world is. In our own day and generation, you'll come up against people and they'll say, "Oh, the internet's a dangerous thing. The internet's a dangerous thing." Yes, there is plenty evil and danger on the internet. There's a far greater evil in your own person. Perhaps you'll say the television's an evil thing. Perhaps you'll say it's modern technology's an evil thing. But therein lies the problem. You see, the problem, if you like, the evil, being outside. What has the Lord Jesus Christ got to say about this? Well, in Mark's Gospel chapter 7, we find the same kind of idea. Here we have the Pharisees and they're complaining. because Christ went straight from the marketplace into the house and sat down and began to eat. And they're saying, oh, what's going on here? He's unclean. And he teaches this fundamental lesson. Fundamental lesson. What does he teach? He teaches simply this. That uncleanness comes from within. Not from without. And he says these words. I can't remember exactly what they are. But if you'll forgive me sort of paraphrasing. He says words to the effect. That the problem is with the heart. Not with the hands and the feet. Where we go and what we do. And it's a fundamental problem today. And there was a fundamental problem to Israel. They saw the problem out there. And the Lord speaks to them through the prophet and he says, no. He says, O Israel, you have destroyed yourself. You have destroyed yourself. Corruption is from within. And it's the corruption from within that brings the destroying. The destroying. Do we need to learn that lesson again? Yes, we do. We need to learn that lesson again and again. And we need to see that it's not the internet that's the danger, or the television, or this, or that. But that everything is dangerous because of the corruption within. And because of the corruption within, we may well fall into the same sin of Israel, of being a professing people of God, being a worshipping people of God, being a covenanted people of God, and destroying ourselves. That's the first thing. Secondly, let us look and see how they were destroyed. Well, we have brought before us some of their sins, but we have to go further back than their sins. We have to go right back to Adam. For as the Catechism tells us, we sinned in and with Adam in his first transgression. There it is. The good old Shorter Catechism. It nails down the answer for us. We destroy ourselves by nature, by the way that we are, not by what we do. Let's look at some of the sins whereby they had destroyed themselves. We have them here in verse 2. There is the sin, first of all, of self-love. What's the sin of self-love? Idolatry. Ye have made molten images of silver and idols according to their own understanding. Idols. What is an idol? An idol is something that replaces the position that belongs to God. That's what an idol is. It replaces that which belongs to the Lord. And they were guilty of self-love. That, of course, was the first temptation, wasn't it? Satan came to Adam and Eve. And he said to them, if you do this, you shall be like God. You shall have, if you like, the ability to choose between good and evil. Of course, that was a lie. That was a lie. Of course it was, wasn't it? Satan always lies. Do you believe that? He was telling them that they would know between good and evil, and this is idolatry. Self-love. Loving oneself. Being our own God. Being our own master. The sin of self-love. There is a sin of self-will. Self-will. Rebellion against the will of God. Israel were guilty of this also. Here, their images were according to their own understanding. Their own understanding. There it is in verse 2. Their own understanding. Of course, there's a sense in which the idol is always according to our own understanding. Isn't it? But that is self-will. When we put our will onto God's word, we are then guilty of self-will. It is, of course, the will that needs to be broken, isn't it? You know, the more you read of the Puritans, the more this is the vein that comes out in their writings. It doesn't matter which of them you read. The need for the will to be broken and to be brought into line with the will of God. The problem with our will is that God's will always cuts across it. It doesn't matter what our will is. Because our will runs in the opposite direction from the will of God. And we can very easily fall into the sin of self-will by doing what we want, by not having what the Scriptures teach us. Self-will, self-love, self-will, and then there's self-glory. Self-glory. They are sacrificing the calves. Let them kiss the calves. Self-glory. Glorying in their own selves. Doing things for their own advancement. Now, self-love, self-will, and self-glory are like a three-cord rope. They are very hard to break. Very hard. It's one of the things about ropes. I don't know if you've ever worked with ropes. The three-cord rope is a very good one. It's very strong. And that is the way that our natures are in Adam's first transgression. And let us try and sum it up. They had completely destroyed themselves. Completely. Because you notice the text. There is no hope in themselves. None. It's not that they've got 80% destruction and they've got a glimmer of hope. No. There's no hope. They had destroyed their usefulness. These were the people of God. These were the covenant people of God. They were those who were there to preserve the things of God. And in themselves, they were without strength and without hope. They destroyed their usefulness. They had destroyed their fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. There's an interesting passage. I can't remember who wrote it, but I was reading something not so long ago about the fact that where the grace of Christ is, there must of necessity be fruitfulness. Because his grace cannot be thwarted. But they had destroyed their fruitfulness. Destroyed it. They were just like the world. They had destroyed themselves completely. And I wonder, as you're here tonight, would you say that of yourself? We were singing there in Psalm 71 at the beginning, O Lord, my hope and confidence is placed in Thee alone. Is that not a testimony that in ourselves we are destroyed? That in ourselves we are hopeless? That in ourselves we are helpless? Ah, but here we see the gracious diagnosis of the great physician. Here is the hand of the Lord in it all, isn't it? And we come thirdly to this, that all is not lost. All is not lost. Oh yes, the condition of Israel is very serious. If we were here talking about somebody's body, we would say they are in a critical state. Critical. But, here's our encouragement, that word but. But the Lord is going to cast you off forever. Is that what it says? Does it say, but there's no hope of recovery? No. Oh, thank the Lord that that's not what it says. Even in this serious diagnosis of the problem of sin in the professing people of God, we have thirdly this but in me is thine help. In me, says the Lord. But in me, herein lies the answer, and herein always lies the answer to sin. Looking away from ourselves. You may be here at the start of a communion season, and perhaps you are examining yourself, and you're saying, well, how have I moved since the last communion season? Where are the shoots of growth? How have I developed as a Christian? Oh, I hope you are. These communion seasons in the providence of God, they're like milestones. Milestones along your life. Milestones given by the Lord. For us to stop at the milestone and yes, look back and look for the green shoots. Well, where are you looking for them? Are you looking to self? Are you saying to yourself, oh, I've learned so many lessons since the last communion season. I'm such a different person now. I won't fall into the same traps that Satan sets for me. And you know, as you think these very words, he's got his snare round your neck. You've fallen into the snare of pride. Pride. Or are you here tonight and you're saying, I'm looking away from myself. I'm looking to Christ. He's my help. Not me, myself. But He is it. He's my hope. He's my help. He's the one that will restore. He's the one that will give me a spirit of repentance. He's the one that will give me grace to return. He's the one that will make me fruitful. He's the one that will make me useful. There is help in the Lord, and what help it is. You know, sometimes you come across somebody and you desire to help them, but you don't know what to do. You don't know, sometimes if you find somebody that has fallen over, say, do you lift them? Do you leave them where they are? You're afraid to lift them in case you do further damage. You don't know what to do, but Christ knows exactly what to do with you, friend. He knows exactly what you need. But not only does He know, the medics today, they have great knowledge perhaps. And they know perhaps sometimes what to do, but they don't have the equipment. Can you say that about Christ? Can you say that He hasn't got what is required to restore a sinner like you? Oh no. Not only does He know what you need, but He has got all grace for it. All grace for it. In Him there is a sufficiency and a fullness of grace. And that's why the prophet can say, and God's word can say, whatever you are and wherever you are tonight, there is hope. There is help in the Lord. But of course, as you know yourself, sometimes you can offer help, but it won't be taken. Why don't people take help when it is offered? Well, for a variety of reasons, really. Some won't take it because they don't want to be seen as needy. Others won't take it because they don't believe they are needy. But oh, the child of God will go to Christ, aware of his need, and with a desire to have that need met. In me is thine help. Oh, your case is not hopeless, friend. There is one who is able to help. One who is able to meet you exactly as you require it. In me, he says, is thine help. Oh, what help it is. We have the parable of the Good Samaritan, don't we? Mr. Spurgeon has a lovely sermon on the Good Samaritan. I'm sure many of you probably have read it. He equates the Good Samaritan to Christ. Christ is the Good Samaritan. Of course, they called him a Samaritan, didn't they? But he was the Good Samaritan in the best of senses. And so he is to the alien sinner. So he is to the man or woman who is under conviction of sin. So he is to the cold-hearted, backslidden Christian. He's the Good Samaritan. What did the Good Samaritan do? Did he ask the man, how did you get into this state? No, he didn't. And too often, that is our preoccupation. We try and say to ourselves, well, if I do this, I'll avoid that sin and I won't get into that state. Rather than holding our hands up and saying, oh Lord, have mercy on me. I'm in a state. In me is thine help. Oh, how thankful we should be for this truth tonight. That there is help. As I've said before, for whoever we are, whatever our condition might be, there is help. Well, friend, will you go to Christ for that help tonight? At the beginning of this communion season, on the first day of the Mount of Ordinances, a day set aside for humiliation and prayer and confession of sin, yes, let us face up to what we are. Let us face up to it. You sometimes hear people like that, don't you? They go to the doctor and they have some kind of problem. And they say to the doctor, well, if it's bad news, I don't want to know. Don't want to know. Well, we should go to the Lord in honesty, and we should have his diagnosis. We should have his diagnosis. But we should remember that the one who diagnoses the problem is the one who will help it. The one who will do it. In me is thine help. But in me is thine help. Where are you looking? Where are you going with your sin? Let me just say a word in closing. What if you're here tonight and you're saying to yourself, this doesn't apply to me. No, I haven't destroyed myself. I'm doing very well. Ah, friend, you see, therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. The Word of God never lies. The diagnosis of Christ is never wrong. and the application of the remedy is sweet to the sinner. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray.